This is not really how to start your year, right? It's just how I like to start my year. I've been doing this way maybe for the past 10 years, maybe even more. And it's always worked for me. I've had a lot of great moments with myself, with God, and with family, and now with my wife, Pauline, looking back on the year that was and the year that is to come with these four steps. In all of these processes, I like to take out my notebook and pen. I really do find that so much better than taking out just your random gadget, especially if it's just your phone where you can be bombarded by other notifications. So grab a quiet place, get a cup of coffee. Get a quiet place, grab a cup of coffee or tea or whatever you like to drink, and just reflect quietly. Preferably, it's been a while since I've made these videos. Preferably away from your phone, like literally turn it off or put it in another room. I can't stress that enough. Now that you've got the headspace for yourself, now it's time to start being grateful. If you have never done this before, this is a great time to start, especially because it's the start of the year. So you always have that excuse to be doing new things. Another thing is, if you want to do this with a loved one, you're more than welcome to do so. If you want to do it even over Zoom, I guess that violates the no gadgets rule, but you know, it lists down from your head everything that you can think of that you can be grateful for. These can be people, these can be events, these can be trips, these can be things that happened, someone got healed, or maybe even just good health. Like the fact that nothing went wrong is something to be grateful for. It can be super huge, or it can be as petty as something small on your wish list that you've had for so long, and finally you have a new pair of earphones. If you already keep a planner or a journal, a very easy and scenty way to do this is to look back, you know, through from January through to December. I'm making this video in 2021, and back in maybe like 2017, I used to keep like daily planners and journals of things that I did, and you know, that took a lot of time. It was a little tedious, but it was fun. Now there's a bit of a new way to do it, and I didn't think my words through. This violates the no gadgets rule, but I like to look through my camera roll. So I mean, put your phone on do not disturb or turn off notifications or something. But I like to look through the camera roll of the previous year. Once I've gone through my whole year and listed down the things that I'm grateful for, one optional thing if you've been doing this for a long time is to look back at the goals that you wrote down last year. Again, it's 2021, so I would be looking at the goals that I wrote down in 2020. In my church, we call it faith goals because we believe God and have faith that He will help us accomplish these goals, especially the ones that we're not in control of. We would go to a cafe or a restaurant or, you know, a nice quiet place surrounded by nature, and we would each read out the goals that we set for the year, and we'd be remembering, celebrating, being grateful, sometimes laughing at our goals in the past and the results of those goals. Very helpful tip, keep these goals. I did not think the gadgets thing through, but keep these goals on Google Sheets because that's stored in the cloud and that's there forever. The second thing I do, which, you know, because the other one was like an optional thing in between number one and two, is I like to write down the goals that I have for the coming year. And, you know, there are a bunch of categories or aspects of life that you can look at when you're setting goals. Of course, one very common one is a health goal or a fitness goal if you want to lose some weight. The States is really getting to me. Or if you want to start a fitness habit, and, you know, starting a fitness habit like going to the gym or running is better than setting just a goal of losing weight. So there's fitness, there's career if you want to land a job or get a promotion, or if you're a student and you have goals for your grades, emotional goals like self-care goals, maybe you want to start a mindfulness habit, relationship goals, whether that's with friends, with family, or with your love life. You want to develop a relationship that you have with somebody, or maybe even get rid of the toxic ones. Don't be afraid to list down your financial goals. You want to be making this amount of money by the end of the year, or you want to have this amount saved up because you're going to be paying for something, or, you know, maybe just for the future. There's a ton of ideas and a whole lot of ways to go about it, but once I have my goals listed down, I personally like to trim that down nowadays. I used to just, like, you know, wishful thinking, just put down all the goals that I want, but then it kind of hinders me when I'm trying to work on all these different goals at once and not just dial in and focus on a small few. You can write down as many goals as you want. Personally, I write down 5 or even less. We've all heard of people, or maybe are the people, that write down a goal the first week of January and then we work on it until the second week of January and the third week of January. Something happens, maybe we get sick or we come up with an excuse to stop working on that goal for a while, especially if that's a fitness goal. Oh, I am gonna do a cheat day or something like that. And then by Feb, you have just completely forgotten that goal. And then when you look back the next year, oh, I had this goal pala to get fit, but I got fat. If you know what I'm talking about, then try this. First, write a bit of a template of, you know, this is your goal, and then first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and then per quarter, you know, I use the first letter of each month, January, Feb, March, April. Once I've got that down, I write down the goal, and then I break it down per quarter. So let's say I want to lose 20 pounds. 20 pounds by the end of the year, that's huge. That's like a big life change. Seems difficult, but then if you break that down per quarter, there are 4 quarters in the year. 20 pounds divided by 4 is 5 pounds. So every quarter I have to lose 5 pounds. I'm not a fitness expert and this is probably not the best way to do it, but it's very helpful when you break down your goals. So now, lose 5 pounds per quarter. Every quarter has 3 months. Let's say January, I want to start the habit of running and additionally lose 1 pound. Now, losing 20 pounds by the end of the year doesn't sound so hard. Feb, I want to start meal planning or doing a diet or something and lose 2 additional pounds. And then March, I want to lose 2 pounds. And then if you think about it, losing 2 pounds in a month, there are 4 weeks in a month, so you only have to lose 0.5 pounds per week. I hope you get it. Like, the body is way more complicated than just losing 5 pounds every week like a robot. But also, when you break it down that small, a huge goal doesn't seem so huge anymore. The third thing I like to do is to pray, and this is something that I'm gonna do with Pauline, or back then with my family, after writing down what I'm grateful for and going through our faith goals of last year and of the coming year. We just like to pray. We like to pray for the faith goals. We like to pray for each other. We like to pray for the coming year. We like to thank God that He was faithful even in the moments that we weren't faithful in the past year. And we like to renew our commitment and devotion to God for the coming year. After all, I know that He's the one who carries us through our hard times, and even through the easy times, He's the one that is lighting the path for us. If I still have energy, I will write down specific prayer requests that are not just goals, you know, things that require, like things that for sure I am unable to control and that I just need to trust that God is sovereign. You know, those kinds of prayers. Prayers for healing, prayers for supernatural provision, prayers for a breakthrough in an area of your life that you've been struggling with. Also very important is accountability and or just keeping that relationship strong with your spiritual brothers and sisters. So if you have friends, if you have a mentor, if you have a small group leader, share with them your prayer requests and maybe even ask them what you can pray for with them. And finally, the last thing that I like to do is fast. Intermittent fasting became a little bit of a trend over the past few years, but this is fasting in a religious sense. I'm thinking of explaining this more in depth in a future video, but the general concept is that you abstain from physical pleasures or physical sustenance for a while. I just had my physical sustenance as a symbol and a representation and a reminder that more important than physical sustenance is spiritual sustenance. That more important than consuming physical bread is consuming, you know, the bread of life. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In recent years, people have also taken to social media fasting, which is basically abstaining for social media, and our church does it for 5 days straight. Depending on people's jobs and the physical toll it might take on their bodies, some people do liquid fasts instead of water fasts, some people do one meal a day fasts, and some people even do what's called Daniel fasts, which is based on the story when Daniel just ate healthy food like just fruits and vegetables for a certain time. And whether you're doing a water fast, liquid fast, one meal a day fast, Daniel fast, social media fast, or whatever else might be distracting you in your life, the point is you're not doing a hunger strike, but you're reminding yourself that the most important source a human being can have is in God.